जय राधा माधव पुण्य विहारी
And now chapter 30, The Gopis Search for Krishna. Shukdev Goswami said, When Lord Krishna disappeared so suddenly, the gopis felt great sorrow at losing sight of him, like a group of female elephants who have lost their mate. As the cowherd women remembered Lord Krishna, their hearts were overwhelmed by his movements and loving smiles, his playful glances and enchanting talks, and by the many other pastimes he would enjoy with them. Thus absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, the Lord of Rama, the gopis began acting out his various transcendental pastimes. Because the beloved gopis were absorbed in thoughts of their beloved Krishna, their bodies imitated his way of moving and smiling, his way of beholding them, his speech and his other distinctive features. Deeply immersed in thinking of him and maddened by remembering his pastimes, they declared to one another, I am Krishna. Singing loudly of Krishna, they searched for him throughout the Vrindavan forest, like a band of mad women. They even asked the trees about him, who as the Supersoul is present inside and outside of all created things, just like the sky. The gopis said, O Ashvata tree, O Plaksha, O Niyagroda, have you seen Krishna? That son of Nanda Maharaj has gone away after stealing our minds with his loving smiles and glances. O Kurubaka tree, O Ashoka, O Naga, Punaga, and Champaka, as Balaram's younger brother, whose smile removes the audacity of all proud women, pass this way. O most kind Tulsi, to whom the feet of Govinda are so dear, have you seen that infallible one walk by, wearing you and encircled by swarms of bees? O Malati, O Malika, O Jati, and Yutika, has Madhava gone by here, giving you pleasure with the touch of his hand? O Chuta, O Priyala, O Panasa, Asana, Kovidara, O Jambu, O Arka, O Bilva, Bakula, and Amra, O Kadamba, and Nipa, and all you other plants and trees living by the banks of the Yamuna, who have dedicated your very existence to the welfare of others. We gopis have lost our minds, so please tell us where Krishna has gone. O Mother Earth, what austerity did you perform to attain the touch of Lord Keshava's lotus feet, which has brought you such great joy that your bodily hairs are standing on end? You appear very beautiful in this condition. Was it during the Lord's current appearance that you acquired this ecstatic symptom, or was it perhaps much earlier, when he stepped upon you in his form of the dwarf Vamanadev, or even earlier, when he embraced you in his form of the boar Varahadev? O friend, wife of the deer, has Lord Achyuta been here with his beloved, bringing great joy to your eyes? Indeed, blowing this way is the fragrance of his garland of kunda flowers, which was smeared with the kunkum from the breasts of his girlfriend when he embraced her. O trees, we see that you are bowing down. When the younger brother of Ram walked by here, followed by intoxicated bees swarming around the Tulsi Manjaris decorating his garland, did he acknowledge your obeisances with his affectionate glances? He must have been resting his arm on the shoulder of his beloved and carrying a lotus flower in his free hand. Let us ask these creepers about Krishna. Even though they are embracing the arms of their husband, this tree. They certainly must have been touched by Krishna's fingernails, since out of joy they are manifesting eruptions on their skin. Having spoken these words, the gopis, distraught from searching for Krishna, began to act out his various pastimes, fully absorbed in thoughts of him. One gopi imitated Putana, while another acted like infant Krishna and pretended to suck her breast. Another gopi, crying in imitation of infant Krishna, kicked a gopi who was taking the role of the cart demon Shakatasura. One gopi took the role of Trinavrita and carried away another, who was acting like infant Krishna, while yet another gopi crawled about, her ankle bells tinkling as she pulled her feet. Two gopis acted like Ram and Krishna in the midst of several others, who took the role of cowherd boys. One gopi enacted Krishna's killing of the demon Vatsasura, represented by another gopi, and a pair of gopis acted out the killing of Bakasura. When one gopi perfectly imitated how Krishna would call the cows who had wandered far away, how he would play his flute, and how he would engage in various sports, the others congratulated her with exclamations of, "Well done, well done." Another gopi, her mind fixed on Krishna, walked about with her arm resting on the shoulder of a friend and declared, "I am Krishna, just see how gracefully I move." "Don't be afraid of the wind and rain," said one gopi. "I will save you." And with that she lifted her shawl above her head. O king, one gopi climbed on another's shoulders and, putting her foot on the other's head, said, "Go away from here, O wicked snake. You should know that I have taken birth in this world just to punish the envious." Then another gopi spoke up, "My dear cowherd boys, look at this raging forest fire. Quickly close your eyes and I will easily protect you." One gopi tied up her slender companion with a flower garland and said, "Now I will bind this boy who has broken the butter pots and stolen the butter." The second gopi then covered her face and beautiful eyes, pretending to be afraid. While the gopis were thus imitating Krishna's pastimes and asking Vrindavan's creepers and trees where Krishna, the Supreme Soul, might be, they happened to see his footprints in a corner of the forest. The gopis said, "The marks of a flag, lotus, thunderbolt, elephant goad, barley corn, and so forth on these footprints clearly distinguish them as belonging to that great soul, the son of Nanda Maharaj." The gopis began following Krishna's path as shown by his many footprints. But when they saw that these prints were thoroughly intermixed with those of his dearmost consort, they became perturbed and spoke as follows. "Here we see the footprints of some gopi who must have been walking along with the son of Nanda Maharaj. He must have put his arm around her shoulder, just as an elephant rests his trunk on the shoulder of an accompanying she-elephant. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Oh, girls, the dust of Govinda's lotus feet is so sacred that even Brahma, Shiva, and the goddess Rama take the dust upon their heads to dispel sinful reactions. These footprints of that special gopi greatly disturb us. Of all the gopis, she alone was taken away to a secluded place where she is enjoying the lips of Krishna. Look, we can't see her footprints over here. It's obvious that the grass and sprouts were hurting the tender soles of her feet, and so the lover lifted up his beloved. Please observe, my dear gopis, how in this place lusty Krishna's footprints are pressed more deeply into the ground, you see? Carrying the weight of his beloved must have been difficult for him. And over here, that intelligent boy must have put her down to gather some flowers. Just see how in this place dear Krishna collected flowers for his beloved. Here he has left the impression of only the front part of his feet, because he was standing on his toes to reach the flowers. Certainly Krishna sat down here with his girlfriend to arrange her hair. The lusty boy must have made a crown for that lusty girl out of the flowers he had collected. Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. As the gopis wandered about, their minds completely bewildered, they pointed out various signs of Krishna's pastimes. The particular gopi, whom Krishna had led into a secluded forest when he had abandoned all the other young girls, began to think herself the best of women. She thought, "My beloved has rejected all the other gopis, even though they are driven by Cupid himself. He has chosen to reciprocate with me alone." As the two lovers passed through one part of the Vrindavan forest, the special gopi began feeling proud of herself. She told Lord Keshava, "I cannot walk any further. Please carry me wherever you want to go." Thus addressed, Lord Krishna replied, "Just climb on my shoulder." But as soon as he said this, he disappeared. His beloved consort then immediately felt great remorse. She cried out, "O Master, my lover, O dearmost, where are you? Where are you? Please, O mighty armed one, O friend, show yourself to me, your poor servant." While continuing to search out Krishna's path, the gopis discovered their unhappy friend close by. She was bewildered by separation from her lover. She told them how Madhava had given her much respect, but how she then suffered dishonor because of her misbehavior. The gopis were extremely amazed to hear this. In search of Krishna, the gopis then entered the depths of the forest, as far as the light of the moon shone. But when they found themselves engulfed in darkness, they decided to turn back. Their minds absorbed in thoughts of him, they conversed about him, acted out his pastimes, and felt themselves filled with his presence. They completely forgot about their homes as they loudly sang the glories of Krishna's transcendental qualities. The gopis again came to the bank of the Kalindi. Meditating on Krishna and eagerly hoping he would come, they sat down together to sing of him. Thus ends the 30th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Gopis Search for Krishna.